procedurally generated. I'm Henry Bell, and joining me in studio today are Max Hamilton and John Carson. Did you guys have a good Thanksgiving?
I did. I met my girlfriend's family for the first time, Ooh. And we played for the first time in my life Just Dance.
Ooh, and, surprisingly good game.
It was on the Wii that we played. Took a couple glasses of wine to get me up there.
Yep.
And I'm happy and proud to say I beat a little girl at the Frozen song, and I don't know what that says
Was it Disney Just Dance, or is that just...
No, I think it was in the 2014 edition.
Okay. Interesting.
But yeah, so much easier on a Wii. Though with the wand, because that's all it can track.
Yep. That's the only thing I've played.
Xbox with the Kinect, because it was on sale and I was half tempted to get it.
Yeah,
tracks your whole damn body.
Now they do it with just your cell phone, which I'm afraid to do because I think I'm just gonna whip it at something.
I would need to get like one of the Wiimote tethers. I think.
Yeah,
I drop my cell phone, just walk.
Just put like get one of those arm straps. Put your phone in there.
Right. Just one of those like jogger bands.
Yeah. Like why not?
I want to get one of those just for my cigarettes, just like keep them in the, like, so I can be like one of those old army dudes who rolls it up in your sleeve.
Why don't you just roll up your sleeve?
That was, they did it with half packs. They don't make half packs anymore. Yeah, or at least I don't know where they would sell
them. Maybe you'll be twice the man if you.
I would just cut off circulation to my shoulder. Probably.
Sure, why not? It's worth it for convenience.
Gotta get those smokes.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's cool. Yeah, I actually really enjoy the Just Dance games. I like the idea of being rated on dancing because I would never just go out and dance like at a club or anything like that, and actually being told like these are the steps.
Yep.
To me, that is a lot more fun. I might actually learn something goofy like the nay nay if it was in a game like that.
Right,
and I just could never bring myself to practice that alone in my room enough to be confident to do it in front of people.
Back when Dance Central came out, I played a ton of it and actually like learned stuff from it.
Yeah, and probably burned like thousands of calories. I can't believe how exhausting it is to play those things.
I pulled muscles the first day. It sucks.
It may have something to do with too that I almost always am drunk when I'm playing them. Yeah. But good lord, I just pour in sweat by the time I finish a couple.
It's a good way to play those games.
Wait, was that your first then, like dancing game?
I've played a couple before that, but that was my first real attempt, and I had to play through multiple songs.
Yeah.
So
well, I played the Star Wars one. Oh yeah,
the Star Wars.
It's actually a good version of Just Dance. It's just Just Dance shouldn't really be in Star Wars.
That was really weird.
If I was gonna play Just Dance, that's the one I'd play.
So a few years ago, I was joining Game Informer for a lot of their live streams, just because I don't know why, like a bunch of the people there didn't want to.
It's a lot of work.
So I would join whoever my friends were that were. Doing it that week, but that was the week that the Star Wars Kinect game came out, and Reiner made me dance. I was the only one who was doing the dancing things.
Yep.
It was really bad.
That is pretty amazing, though. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, it's especially because they did a really good job on the motion capture. Yeah. Seeing Han Solo do a split is pretty amazing.
The Rancor thing was actually pretty fun too.
Yeah, there
that was okay.
Well, no, yeah, it wasn't. It should have been $10, and then it would have been okay.
Yeah.
But
was it going for? Full price?
Full price, yeah.
Ooh.
It was unreasonable, especially because the Kinect version is so broken.
Yep.
So broken. You can't even navigate a damn menu.
Well, it reminded me ridiculous. That silly Fable game that came out that was supposed to be Kinect only, and you had to like move by like
the journey
and stuff. Yeah.
Didn't that end up being like some kind of tie-in to Fable 3 or something? Am I thinking of something different?
I think that
wasn't there like a mini game Kinect tie-in? Like you could like earn money in Fable 3 by playing like the tie-in game.
That was they had some like clubhouse games or
What I was remembering. Okay, I guess I'm not entirely sure which one you're talking
about. Yeah, that was Fable the Journey.
Just Google it. It was a
Google it.
Supposed to be a kind of a first person, you're one of the Fable heroes, story driven game, and it just was kind of a big flop with terrible controls.
Driving a carriage with
the carriage was the worst.
I have never. How did I not know about this? Actually, like the graphics are pretty okay.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, look good. You just couldn't move in it.
Oh, yeah. This is the on rails one.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. And all my interest is gone now.
Mm-hmm.
I saw an image of a guy in first person casting a spell, and I was like, that looks like Skyrim. Like, that's pretty cool.
Right?
I was like, nope, that's on rails, friend. Oh, what a shame.
Did you guys do anything else for Thanksgiving?
Just ate a lot of food and just got ready for the Just Cause 3.
Yep.
Played, I basically like did a little bit more Fallout 4 playing, but I think I'm going to need to finish another game or so before I can actually complete my second playthrough because it's just
Oh,
such
you're
an
on
investment.
Your second for that.
Oh, yeah. I finished Henry's my first not messing one around. Like a while ago. Oh,
are you playing differently?
Yeah, completely. Okay. I mean, that's how I do Bethesda. Is right. Usually, unfortunately, I can't really do too many distinctly different characters because of the nature of the leveling system in this one and the way that questing works.
But like, is there enough where it feels different for you?
Well, there is a point in the story where you basically lock yourself out of a bunch of missions. So I just want to see what the other side is. But to be honest, I was a little bummed by the. I felt a little bit like maybe it's just like less organized, but. It feels like there's less quests to do than in like vanilla Skyrim.
You know, I think there are, and because you mentioned that last week, and I want to speak to what made me feel the same way. Early on, if you're walking around, you'll get you'll overhear some people talking about the railroad, and it tells you find the railroad, and I immediately assume
no spoilers though.
Oh yeah, no spoilers. And I immediately assume like, oh cool, like it's another side quest to go like do on my own time and it will lead to its own rewards or whatever. Well then playing through the single player the actual story, the main missions, it forces you to do this quest. So it just kind of felt shoehorned in. And I'm not talking about the quality of any of the quests, but when it plays it off like, oh, this is a quest that's an optional thing. Well, really, a lot of these quests are mandatory. They just are structured or set up in your inventory in a way that makes them seem like they're not tied into the main story.
Yeah, although I would like to speak to that a little bit. That particular one, that's more allowing you to, because there are a series of missions for them.
Okay.
That are not related to necessarily the main quest.
That's fair, yeah.
And also it allows you to go do work for them or at the very least meet them before you get to that point in the main quest. So I see what they were doing, though you're not entirely wrong. I'm with you on about 75% of what you said.
Okay.
So
I'd have to think about it for other quests, but there are other ones that feel similar.
Yeah. My big one was when I realized that almost every single like side quest that doesn't have that's do this and then just come back is they're radiant quests.
Right.
There's so many more radiant quests. And as far as I can tell, I think the militia start as radiant. And then there's just like after you've done X number, you do a single special one for them. And then it's just radiant for the rest of the game. So I don't even know. Like I heard someone say the militia had a quest line, but I'm pretty sure like there's one quest, like unless you count the Concord. But anyways, that's enough Fallout 4 for now. We'll get back to that when we talk about what we've been playing. Sure. I would like to jump into some stories now. I'd say the thing that most people are talking about this week is that, we have confirmation from Konami that Metal Gear Solid 5's nuclear disarmament event is like a real thing. I don't know if you guys remember this. I don't think we covered it.
I don't know if we did when
it was first revealed. A bunch of players data mined the PC version of the game and were able to discover that there is an alternate ending to the game. But it requires, this is kind of complicated.
It's weird.
Yeah, so it requires
the process.
So there's the forward operating base system where you have your customized mother base and it's multiplayer and all that. And one of the most powerful items you can build is a nuke. And it prevents other people from invading you.
Yeah.
In order to unlock the secret ending, everyone on a given console has to choose to disarm their nukes. Which is really interesting.
Or you can steal the nuke from people and
then
disarm them.
Yeah, you can steal them as well and disarm them. It's very interesting. The numbers have dropped drastically. I'm just looking nuclear weapons owned per platform. This is a chart on Kotaku I'm just looking at. By November 1st, PlayStation 4 had 2,761 nuclear weapons owned. By the 25th, it was down to 352. So people are actually making an effort. Also, PC is a bunch of like stupid hacking cheaters.
Their
number was 36,552 in November 1st, down to 15,691 on the 25th. That's... But it's just like, you know, like about 100 of those people, you know, like maybe 1,000 or 2, like actually earn.
It's it would. It would be kind of a fun challenge to be the one holding out and like stockpiling your nukes and trying to.
That's what the comment sections are filled with. People who are like, "I'm going to be that last jerk who ruins it for everyone." It's like, "Aren't you cool?"
It's a really cool community event if you think about it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, if it ever happens, but you know, I don't think it will.
I don't know if it will.
But it's a good thing they data mined the ending.
Yeah,
video
you could go and see those videos. Yeah.
Did either of you ever give Metal Gear Online a chance once the multiplayer?
No, hell no. There's nothing. I mean, I don't feel like there. I mean, oh. I never had issues with the multiplayer though when I was playing it.
I'm not talking about the base attack and defend. I'm talking about the actual online component. It launched much later.
No.
It's not out on PC.
People are saying just the multiplayer.
It's quite fun and thinks outside the box and really encourages some team play. And there's some very unique things you can do, like sneaking up on the enemy. And I mean, putting a balloon on a human player is quite more satisfying than just an AI. So
I'll be honest, I don't know that I'm going to go back to Metal Gear Solid 5. I mean, at least not in any time soon, just because I didn't actually complete it either. Mm-hmm. Just because I never thought this would be an issue, but they need to stop with this bottleneck of all of the most time consuming games of the year coming out within like 2 months of each other. I've satisfactorily completed Fallout 4, or The Witcher 3, Metal Gear Solid 5, and now I'm on Far Cry 3, which hopefully I'll be able to finish now that Just Cause 3. And now that things are starting to slow down, hopefully I can finish that one. But it's just like, for God's sake, you guys, I'm an obsessive gamer. I play a lot of video games, and there aren't enough hours.
Yeah.
And I can only imagine people who were like playing Destiny still and stuff like that. Insane. You just not enough hours in a day. And I've never felt that way really before. Yeah. There's just so many just insanely large open world games. I think the lesson that they need to learn is like, this isn't movies. Like, it's not like people don't go out to buy games anymore. It's all almost all sales are digital on PC at least. And even on consoles, it's increasing.
Yeah.
And so to stagger releases and force them all into the holiday season, I think is really short-sighted.
Put some before the holidays, but put some before the summer.
Yeah. It would have been awesome if it came out a little earlier, way earlier. Was it? Wasn't it like August?
No. Was like May or June.
Oh, dang. Okay. Yeah, that was then.
Or even March. Like it was a while ago. Henry is currently looking it up. It looks like
May 12th? No, that's not right.
But like to your point of like all these games, like
May 19th. Yeah, wow, holy crap, I was way off.
So like that's a good time for that, because that was the only thing around that time that
I still didn't get through it, but that was just an intimidatingly large game.
Yeah, even tomorrow we have Xenoblade Chronicles X, which is a big JRPG. That's another time sink like that.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's really, you have to pick your battles there.
Well, it's just like, I want to play all these games, so by all means, keep making huge games, because I love the value you get when you buy a game like this. But please, just give them to me at a time where I can play them. I want to give you my money, but like you said, guess who missed out on your money this week because you ran out?
Just Cause.
Yeah, Avalanche. Yeah. So it's Avalanche, just like, for crying out loud, you guys, like if 5 major releases come out, I'm only going to be able to buy like 3 at a time, you know? It's just crazy. But so we'll see if this ever actually comes to fruition. But I do think it's a cool little social experiment. Yep. I think the problem is that it's an online game and online is full of trolls.
Yeah.
We'll have to hope that there's a like you said, that there will be like some really dedicated fans who are going in and disarming other people's nukes. And hopefully we won't deal with too many trolls that are just like, I can just see someone just having like multiple PlayStation Plus accounts just so that they can have like 3 different nukes that are constantly building.
They're just dedicated to just building those up.
Running a macro that just builds nukes constantly. So yeah, that's pretty much it for that. I just thought it was kind of interesting, worth touching on. This is actually pretty big news here as well. Project M, this incredibly popular modification of Super Smash Bros. Brawl to make it more like Melee, to make it's used in competitive scenes because Brawl was utter garbage for competitive play. Yep. Why can you trip? Why could you trip? That game is I don't think they've ever come out with a good explanation. There is an explanation. It's because the designer of Smash Bros. Has openly stated that he doesn't want it to be played competitively. I'm not saying this is definitely absolutely the reason, but this is why I think he did. I mean, that's what I think is that I think it was vindictive because he was mad that there was a scene growing for Melee.
That's
he wanted to be
so
a
messed up.
They want it to be a party game, not a fighting game. Right. And when it comes down to it, that really is that is what it is since Melee, in my opinion, or Project M. So the big news is Project M has ceased development very, very abruptly. The team that was working on it has basically just said, we're sorry. But it's over. We don't have time to develop any more resources or to devote any more resources to the project. And we would like to move on to bigger and better things. And the community is flipping out. Yeah. People are not happy.
I mean, it's a mod for a game. It's their choice.
Oh, and they took down all links to the current version.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
That's the bad part.
Yeah, well, I think that we all know what we're thinking, right? Because this was an unlicensed mod of a Nintendo game. I mean, I'm just going to spell it out because I don't feel like being clever. Yeah, I'm almost sure that they got a DMCA or something similar, a copyright.
Well, they say on their Twitter, they said to clarify, we weren't contacted, issued a C&D, threatened, or had legal action taken against us in any way, but we wanted to stay that way.
Which does sound like they were actually contacted, just not maybe by a lawyer.
Okay.
I mean, I have a feeling that someone said something to them that this is a very abrupt about face from their previous statement because they've been doing continual updates. I mean, what is Brawl now, like 4 or 5 years old?
Probably more than that.
Yeah, I mean, it's insane. So, I mean, I don't know. This is a giant bummer. I don't understand why Japanese companies are so against modifications. Like, this isn't the first time we've seen something like this, especially from Nintendo. Like, remember the spate of them copyright striking every single Kaizo video and stuff like that? And, like, they put out a statement, I remember, saying, like, even if you buy the game, you don't have the right to, like, decompile the code and make changes and stuff like that. Yeah. And it's just, like, it's insane. People love your product so much. They're doing a fan copy. Nobody's buying it from them ever. Like, it's not like anybody charges for any of these. This is really just a bummer to me because you guys have heard me speak on this show multiple times about how I consider Smash Brothers not really to be a fighting game because of these weird party elements that they added in starting with Brawl. Melee is by far my favorite one. I miss wave dashing. I miss like having, you know, good proper timings. I miss the balance. I mean, there was so much great stuff about Melee. Yeah. I miss not tripping literally randomly. In case you guys don't know, in Brawl, you literally, when you're moving at any time, can just trip and fall down.
Yeah.
It's not triggered by anything.
It's just random.
I can't think of any reason for it outside of to prevent competitive play. Yeah. It doesn't make sense otherwise. So anyways, the mod has come to an end. People are super bummed and it doesn't sound like it'll be coming back. But fortunately, since, you know, they had a website and stuff, I'm sure that you'll be able to find archived stuff online. Probably just search Project M. Where can I get it still?
Yeah,
Reddit,
if you ask the right people,
just add Reddit to the end of any tag for archived stuff and you'll find it.
Yep.
So, yeah, bummer. But what are you going to do?
Right.
So speaking of bummers, but what are you going to do? Bloodborne went down this week for 3 days.
It was a while.
It was a really long time. Completely unexplained, no reason given. And came back up just recently. Everything's working.
Yeah, they call it emergency maintenance.
Yes.
So to put context to this, the new DLC came out on Friday.
Yes.
Yep.
So and the rumor is that people were using an exploit to play the DLC without paying for it.
Yeah.
I don't know if you could even consider it an exploit necessarily. I'm not sure exactly what the process was, but it's...
But if you could just like stroll in.
Yes, you could basically just do the DLC in some way without paying for it. Sure. And so it was down for 3 days, and then that ability to basically cheat into it was disabled. So people are theorizing that that was the reason for the maintenance, which seems fairly likely to me in a largely single player game. I mean, I can't imagine the netcode for those is too intense.
There is probably some weirdly complicated things with connecting with other like random people's games, but
sure.
I wonder because most of that game is offline. The only thing that you connect with is like seeing where people died, communicating with things on the floor or just like jumping into other people's games, if people could still do that exploit while it was down.
I don't know. I couldn't tell you, but it is that would be actually, that's an interesting thought though. That would be a kind of hilarious way.
Like there's nothing, I mean, nothing other than like other player interaction that deals with the servers in that game.
Sure.
So like the game itself would be just fine.
So, just out of curiosity. Yeah. I mean, I agree. There's a bunch that would actually be a smart way to do it. In my opinion, if they were going to do that, they should just make it so you can't like pick up the DLC items or something. So you could just see the DLC, but not pay for it. And then you could buy it if you wanted it. But, I'm curious. We were just talking before the show. You were saying that Bloodborne is one of your Game of the Year contenders.
Yep.
Have you gotten to play the new DLC?
Not yet. Mainly because there's other stuff that I'm trying to work through right now.
What we discussed earlier.
And, like I want to finish the main game, but I also heard
you
don't finish the main game.
Apparently the DLC starts like halfway through the story, so you may actually want.
And I want to say I'm like 2/3 of the way through it, and I want to finish it by the end of the year and try out this new content because like some of the weapons look awesome.
You taking like a week off work or something?
No, just like staying up all night every night.
Jeez, that's what I've been doing. And last night or the night before last, I got 3 hours of sleep because I was playing Just Cause 3 till 3 a.m. and then I fell asleep at my desk.
Good. Did you just like faceplant on the keyboard?
No, I fell asleep with my arms crossed and my head just like
dangling. That's not too bad.
No, my neck was a little sore, but it wasn't like one of those things where you wake up and you're like, well, I can't turn my head anymore. That's a good thing.
That was me the other day. I just fell asleep on the couch. Weird.
Been there. But yeah, that's pretty much the whole story. It's just kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. I was interested because, to be perfectly honest, I only played a little bit of Bloodborne, mm-hmm. and I had completely forgotten about the game. I just
that was really early in the year too.
Yeah,
as for one of those like bigger games that take a while to mm-hmm. to get through.
Definitely. And I have to wonder how much of this end of the year stuff is so that they can try and be a little bit more pertinent for the Game of the Year mm-hmm. stuff. But then again, I feel like Game of the Year stuff becomes more meaningless every year, especially considering they've programmed like, you know, the Xbox or what is it, the Platinum games mm-hmm. and stuff like that, where it's like, oh, this game went Platinum now, so we're re-releasing it.
Oh, like Game of the Year editions.
Yeah, Game of the Year editions. Like, you can literally just call everything anything anyway, so it's not like they need the tag.
Well, speaking of Game of the Year, I know tonight is the Game Awards, and they've released all their nominees for all the categories, but for the big one, which one do you guys think is going to take it? So the nominees for Game of the Year.
Yeah, why don't you read them out, because I don't have them in front of me.
There's probably Fallout.
Bloodborne. Fallout 4.
Yep.
Metal Gear Solid 5, Super Mario Maker, and Witcher 3.
Geez, I it's probably going to go to Fallout 4, just knowing industry and like.
I would say if it was a vote by fans, absolutely it'd be Fallout 4. Yep. But I think since it's critics that are making the decision, it might not be.
Oh, really? I'm on board with Witcher 3. I think that's just.
I don't think so.
The most well crafted new world to.
Like, to be honest, those are all great games. And I think it's a good list. It's very divisive.
Yeah, well, I'm going to throw out this maybe surprising opinion, but I actually would rank Mario Maker in the top three there. Yep. I would say it's between Witcher 3, Fallout 4, and Mario Maker.
I was talking to someone the other day who's like, they're like, why is Mario Maker in that list? I'm like, did you play Mario Maker? They're like, oh, it's just,
I haven't
it's just
even
building
played
tools
it.
For a game. And I'm like,
I get it, though.
Like, everything you can do in there, just like making your own stuff, playing other people's levels.
Yeah.
Like it is hands down one of the best games this year.
And whether or not it's up your alley,
sure.
It's like hitting Minecraft levels of popularity among young kids.
Yeah.
Like it's people, they wanted the system seller. Mario Maker might actually be the one. Yeah. Honestly, it's the only thing that's made me even consider getting a Wii U. I still won't, but it made me consider it for a second there.
Shall we hit a couple categories? Couple more categories?
Let's do like one or two more and then move on.
Best independent game.
Okay.
Axiom Verge.
Sure.
Her Story. Ori and the Blind Forest. Mm-hmm. Rocket League. Undertale.
Rocket League.
I don't agree.
Would you go Undertale?
No.
Okay.
You
don't agree with
I'm
the
on
list?
Board with
or?
Ori. I would go with Axiom Verge.
Really? That's a great game.
Ori, I thought, was wildly overrated because it was pretty.
I liked Ori, but that's more
The mechanics weren't very good.
For me, it's Ori or Rocket League.
I don't think Rocket League even fits on that list, because what you, I don't know, because is it just best game, best indie game that's on this list, or best game that is indie, like in terms
well they
of,
they well, picked on, what they believed were the best list. Indie games of the year.
No, but I'm saying like, are we supposed to pick what the best game is of those five,
oh,
or what the best
that...
game that evokes an indie game
gotcha.
Is? Because like Rocket League gotcha. To me, even though it is an indie game technically, it first of all, it has massive support from like Sony and a lot of third parties, you know, all these licensed like DLCs they're putting out. You know, they're talking with WB if they're putting Mad Max cars in the games. They're talking to Valve if they're putting Portal cars in the games now, which they are now.
But that was like such a big surprise when that came out.
It was a PlayStation Plus game.
But
we're talking about four games that are art and then one game that's very much a game. Which, mm-hmm. and that's when I think of indie, this is my personal thoughts on it. I know that you especially disagree with me on what I consider an indie game.
Wait. Are you saying Axiom Verge is a game, or is that art?
I would say, well, I'm saying it's more of art because okay. it's telling a story and stuff sure. like that. And it's the art style is a very yep. distinct thing. I mean, I don't feel that Rocket League at all has its own art style. I
no,
feel like
not
it's
really.
Just a, it but looks it's like just a modern game.
Out of those five games, like that's the most fun I had out of those five games.
Well, I never really got into
them,
Rocket
but,
League.
Yeah.
Undertale should not be on that list. Everyone needs to stop, okay? Undertale is a good game, yep. a surprisingly good game. It's not the best game of the year in any, I don't think, in really any category, unless you want to do, like, turn-based RPGs
that's,
as a category.
That's one of those that might be in the honeymoon phase. Like,
yeah, that's
like,
exactly what I was thinking when we talked about this yeah. like earlier, was that is a game that if it had come out in February, no one would be talking about
sure.
it.
All right, last one. Best narrative, Her Story, Life is Strange, Tales from the Borderlands, Witcher 3, Until Dawn.
Witcher 3.
Probably Witcher.
If Until Dawn had a little bit better writing for the characters, I would give it to them. But yep. because the characters are a little too shallow, I've got to give it to Witcher 3 for the insane side quest quality.
But, like, coming off the characters being shallow, I think that's kind of what makes it work, too. But not
it is what makes it work, and it's one
just...
of the reasons it's a great game, yep. but that doesn't change the fact that, like,
oh,
in
sure.
terms of rating the narrative...
Oh, I'm not going to argue that that story is amazing
no.
at all. It's a fun game to play.
Actually, I was watching a Let's Play. Scary Game Squad was doing a Let's Play. It's, like, a bunch of guys from Screw Attack and a couple of Polaris guys.
Yeah.
And in the first 30 minutes of their playthrough, they call both twists.
Oh, shoot.
Down to... without spoilers, down to they know exactly what is what happened in the intro.
Okay.
Cryptozoologically, like they literally know they call it
yeah.
by its name. I was like, no way. Like, that's ridiculous.
I guess if you know, like, the lore behind...
If you know any Native American
stuff, yeah.
lore, really, yeah. I mean, I knew... Well, I don't want to go into it because
sure.
I don't want to spoil anything. But that is a good... Those are all games worth your time.
Yep.
I would say I'd give it to Witcher 3, followed by Her Story, probably.
I want to play more Life is Strange.
I did not play Life is Strange full...
The writing is
disclosure.
Weird, mainly because it's trying to be, like, too teenager-y.
Mm.
Like... It just doesn't feel right when it's scripted for what the characters are saying.
Any adult that writes dialogue for a teenager yeah. always comes out that way.
But I've heard like a lot of people are saying that's one of their favorite stories of this year, obviously, because it's on the list. But also Tales sure. from the Borderlands is supposed to be
yeah.
really good in the last like three episodes.
I've actually heard it is the best Telltale game since Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Which
that's pretty exciting, too, because they released all the first episodes for that, Game of Thrones, and I think Minecraft's first episode is now free.
Oh, is it? I didn't know that. I have not played episode 3 yet, by the way, you guys. I'll have to talk about that next week. Yeah. I did buy it and download it, but I just haven't bothered to actually start playing
it. For what?
Minecraft.
Oh, you're playing story mode?
Yeah, I've already played the first two episodes. I talked about them, didn't I?
No.
I'm pretty sure I did.
I don't know. I have a terrible memory, so
yeah. I mean, for anybody who wants a quick refresher, I'm enjoying it.
Good,
it's
good.
A fantastic kids story-driven adventure.
Sure.
It's a little immature for me, obviously, but it's not really aimed at me. I really
Patton
enjoy
that.
Well, here's the thing: he's Patton Oswalt, because like yep. he's the writing is really good, but like. It's not like he's funny. Like
sure.
that's not his character
sure.
really. But like he plays his character well. He does very well voice acting. I don't know really what other voice acting work he's done, but he fits the character very well. It is a little weird hearing his voice come out of someone who's supposed to be like 12.
Who is he? He was the main character.
Oh, he was Remy? Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, but Remy's like an adolescent.
Sure.
Like this the Minecraft, they're, let's be honest, they're supposed to be like 11 or 12.
Yeah.
But all that said, I'm enjoying it. It's only for you if you like Minecraft.
Okay.
You have to know, like, there's a lot of in jokes and stuff like that. And also, if you're going to be like a stickler about like, that's not a creature that's in the real game, like, deal with it, okay? Yeah. There's not enough in the main game to actually tell a story, really.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so it's pretty fun. If you have a kid that likes Minecraft, getting him the first couple episodes would be a good Christmas gift.
There are a lot of people who like that game, it seems.
And it's Minecraft also also a good introduction to the Telltale style of point and click. So, yeah, those are my thoughts on that. All right, let's bring it back to the news here. This is my favorite story ever, just because you guys know I'm a giant dick and I love gloating. So Disney has announced that...
Oh, you mean glowing?
Yes, glowing. I glow when I gloat, trust me. Disney has released the new glowing lightsaber edition models of the Disney Infinity Star Wars characters.
Hey, where can I get one of those?
You can get them at one of six different retailers, each one unique to the model. Oh, sweet.
Who are the retailers? Sweet. Do we know
I
yet?
Like that. Do we? I actually... So you can get Luke from Walmart, Yoda from Target, Obi-Wan from GameStop, Darth Vader from Toys R Us, Anakin from Best Buy, and Kananjaras from Amazon. I don't know who the hell that is.
I think he's a Star Wars Rebels character.
What? Is that the
new cartoon.
They're doing a new one now. Yep. Okay. Is that different from the Clone Wars cartoon?
Yeah, so they ended Clone Wars, and it's the same creator from Clone Wars.
That's why the art style is similar? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, my roommate is obsessed with the Clone Wars show right now. He's been watching through it for the last, like, three weeks straight.
It's really good.
That's what he says, but then I watch it, and, like, the dialogue is really bad, and, like, little things drive me mad. Like, I don't know. It just, the writing isn't fantastic, but the characters are interesting and they do change, which is cool. And I got to see a little character development. I saw Anakin talking about how the most some war crime had been committed. Mm. And he was like, we need to just wipe them out. And Obi-Wan was like, you know, that's a dangerous path. And I was like, oh my God, a moment of character development for Anakin. Yep. This may be worth checking out because it's canon. So at least you don't have to feel like you're wasting your time fleshing out the character.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Honestly, the art style really doesn't appeal to me. I know they couldn't have done it really any other way because it's CG, and more cartoony would have been worse, and realistic would have just looked dumb.
Yeah.
But I don't like I don't even know how to describe it. It's like, it's extremely cartoony.
It looks
CG.
Like Disney Infinity figures.
Right.
Well, like, isn't it the other way around? But yes.
But I mean, like.
Yes, you're right. Because the Disney Infinity characters were presumably.
Like, based on that, or like they want that style.
Apparently, I said something that rhymes with "Hey Cortana" because my Surface just started searching our entire conversation on Edge.
Oh, how accurate was it?
Unless I said "Judy, you tell me everything," I'm not very accurate.
Now you did.
But I am also talking into a mic before that mic.
That's
so
true.
That could be doing it as well.
So six different retailers for this.
Yeah. How do you feel about this?
The only thing that I like about it being six different retailers is that it's not like they're all nationwide retailers. Like, you can find most of those stores near you. It's not like a Fry's Electronics or anything.
Yeah, that's true.
I guess that would have been real bad.
I like how the character that, as far as I'm concerned, nobody gives a shit about is the one that's the only one available through an online convenience retailer.
Right.
Because, like, God forbid that Luke Skywalker would be at Amazon instead of Kananjaras. Yeah. And also, as a side note, how much do you think Walmart paid more than everyone else to get the Luke model?
Quite a bit.
Also, do you think the Luke or the Yoda model or the Darth Vader model were the most coveted? I've got to assume
probably
Luke.
Vader.
Really? You think so?
Yeah, I think it's Vader. Vader or Yoda. It's one of those two. I don't think that people care about Luke like they care about those characters. At least Like,
oh, maybe not the people who watch Rebels and stuff.
Right, right.
Yeah, fair enough. To me, it's Luke all day, every day.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Which I'm super pumped that they've kept him secret for the all the.
Yeah, well, this stuff is typical J.J. Abrams. I'm sure that, like, something that everyone's predicted as clearly the truth is,
he,
like,
is not
actually
real. Is he the Cloverfield monster?
Yeah, exactly. He's a giant hamster!
Yes.
If you guys haven't seen The Startling, it's one of my favorite two-part episodes of South Park of all time.
I don't know if I have.
It's so good. The whole thing is a spoof of Cloverfield, and it's Randy running around with a video camera just, oh my god, I'm so startled. It's him taking close-up of his own face. Oh my god, you guys, we're so startled. Randy, stop filming. They're eating the bus. Oh, it's so startling. Oh, I'm so startled. It's great. It's awesome. Wonderful.
I love Randy.
All right, but yeah, so that's pretty great, I guess.
Stop doing that. Stop releasing these to six different retailers.
You know what we could do? We could just stop releasing them and just make it DLC for games that it's relevant for.
Yeah, but also it's the same figures that they released before, both glowing lightsabers.
And also, I'll be honest, I've gotten my hands on a couple of the Disney Infinity figurines now, and not super blown away by the quality.
There, if you compare that to like a Skylander,
that
it
does
is
not,
like
that's not
going to
make
bounds.
Yeah, but
better.
That's not going to make me. If, as someone who doesn't do toys to light, like Skylanders, first of all, is for children, whereas this is ostensibly
it's aimed towards
for
full family.
Families. Yep. Yeah, exactly. But also, you know, there's a reason they've released like what is it? This isn't their first or their second Star Wars run, is it?
If this is their like. 3.0 was their first Star Wars run for it.
Right, but I'm saying of models. Is this the first or second batch they released?
Or is still part of the first, I guess.
Does this count as part of the first at this point?
Yeah, I think so.
Since they're the same,
well, like
I
the second batch was like a month after the game came out, they re-released Luke and Leia in a separate pack.
How do you guys even keep up with all this crap? Like, you have to, like, subscribe.
I work at a retailer.
No, I know. I'm just saying, like, all the other people. Like, I can't imagine that the kids who collect these are, like, frequenting, you know, they must have the Disney Infinity homepage, like, bookmarked.
Yeah.
It's just, like, insane.
Just watching, like, UPS trucks and tracking them and, like, when they get to stores.
Is there
that level of creepy?
Right. Exactly. Yes, John.
Yes, I have been doing that.
So, by the way, do we know if there's been any confirmation on if, since these are the same models, just with different lightsabers, are they different in the game?
No, I doubt it.
Are you kidding?
They just light up. They do the same, like, Skylanders had the same stuff. It was, like, light core Skylanders. They've had them for a few years now. But, yeah, they don't do anything different in the game.
I'll never understand this fad, but maybe I'm just getting old.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that pretty much does it for that story, unless, sure. Max, do you have any thoughts on that?
Nope, not on me. It's just they're cashing in on the Amiibo and
the Toys to
Crash.
Life.
Yeah, yep.
Thing, yep.
All right, we got...
Although, you know what we never hear about anymore is the Lego game with the...
We do a little bit. I mean, didn't it just launch?
It launched in, like, October.
Everything I heard about it was very positive.
I'm just saying we don't see it in the news as much as Skylanders or the Star Wars figurines.
Yeah. Suppose not. I actually just saw the other day, though, a buyer's guide. I can't remember what site it was on, but it was a buyer's guide for, like, which game do I choose for my kid who's not into it yet? Yeah. And it was, like, 30 pages. Like, this is insane. How is a parent supposed to know what to buy when there's, like, six starter packs for each of these? Like,
yeah. Just get
and then you
time.
Tell then you drop the real bombshell. No, Mom, it's a computer game.
Oh no. Oh
no. You know that's a thing that's happening.
I just want to play it on my tablet.
I just want them to be fully articulate. I want action figures that can be put on a stand. Then I would do it, honestly. I don't even play with action figures, but at least then it would be like a model that I wouldn't be embarrassed to have around.
And for that, like, Lego's probably the closest, I guess, because they're actual Lego models.
Yeah, but you don't see me with Lego models on my desk either.
Mm-mm.
Maybe if I had like a really cool, expensive, rare one or something, but I do not meet any of those categories for my Legos. I do have Transformers toys, though, in my office because Transformers are great toys.
So with that last Transformers game, it started like this big new like storyline for Transformers.
They kind of devastation, right?
Yeah, they kind of stealth released that in.
And yeah, like, that was a weird. For those who don't know, it was a third person brawler.
It was good.
Got really good reviews, although I heard it was a bit repetitive.
Yeah, it was a more budget Platinum game.
Yes,
so.
Very budget, yeah. Actually, which you can tell from the like equipment crafting systems, yeah.
which really didn't matter in the long run.
They work, yep. But they're just the worst optimized thing I've ever seen. Yeah. You can't compare items. Like, it's garbage.
It's bad. It's bad. I played through all of it, so I kind of know like the beginning of this new story. It was interesting because they wanted to move it into like their toys, their movies, cartoons, and the games.
Wait, they're gonna be rebooting the movies?
It might be just animated movies. I don't know.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Are they still making animated Transformers movies?
Maybe like straight to DVD.
Is there even a Transformers TV show on anymore?
Yeah, I think
remember
so.
They had that weird anime one.
Transformers Prime was
is
something
that weird
happening.
Anime one?
No, that's actually a different one. That
I
is the newer one.
That one. It doesn't make you can't animeify robots that are like a calculated size to transform. Yeah. You can't be like this one's got ridiculously big hands. It's just like what that doesn't.
Yeah, how does that fit?
He
in
already
your body?
Exists.
Make them realistic.
Well, what you got to do is start out with your hand just kind of limp, and then you make a fist after.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Like this.
That was the sound of a joke going over my entire co-hosts' heads.
But no,
for those that got it, yes, I apologize for the dirty joke.
I saw a toy at Walmart that linked into that new stuff like a week after that game released.
Oh,
which is it was really weird, like weird timing wise that they announced that because they announced it after the game had come out. They're like, oh, this is part of our new.
Well, they were probably like, well, I guess I can't. I wonder if they like often have characters ready to be produced and they wait to see how the popularity is, because that was shockingly well received. I'm surprised they didn't put any marketing behind it, as far as I know, at least not in the U.S. I guess though with Transformers stuff, like they'll just keep making it forever because in Japan they have. It's like a national treasure, Transformers.
It's close to Gundam.
They have, yeah, exactly. In fact, don't they have a giant Transformer as well somewhere in Tokyo?
Probably.
Pretty sure they do. I heard the Gundam is supposedly supposed to be getting retrofitted to walk at some point.
Sweet.
Although that's I'm hearing that that's a third degree rumor. So
I just want to pilot that thing. It's weird. It's weird. Like in Japan, they'll take that giant Gundam and just split up the body parts and put them into like different places around the country. Just like, oh, here's his right arm.
Right.
Let's go stand on his right arm and take pictures.
I don't know. It's goofy, but I like it. It kind of reminds me of the Charles Schultz.
We had those
in Minneapolis when Charles Schultz was right after he died, I believe it was. Yeah. The cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul like commissioned a bunch of Peanuts statues and then auctioned them all off and I think gave the money to charity.
And they did a few different runs of that too.
Yes.
So like you could still
really
see
cool.
like Snoopy houses like around and like, oh yeah, that was part of that thing. That's cool that they got one.
Yeah. And like, yeah, exactly. You'll see some are in it's they're everywhere from people's front yards to outside businesses to
like restaurants.
Yeah. It's great. It's always a nice little like, oh yeah, he was from here. Like that's nice. I like it. But I can see the appeal of it.
Sure.
I hope that if they do a video game sequel to it, though, that it's more along the production quality of the previous two Transformers
games. Give
them
a little bit more money.
Yeah, exactly. But so we got one more news story to talk about, and then we are going to do what we've played this week. So this is a bit of a touchy subject, so we're just going to be covering the actual main story and then giving our thoughts on it. We will not be going crazy into the comments or anything like that for this. Koei Tecmo. There was a big controversy that started about mid last week for the new Dead or Alive Extreme 3 game. For those who don't know, Dead or Alive is a fighting game franchise. The Extreme games are... Yes, and they're good fighting games.
Yeah.
And the Extreme series is a volleyball spinoff where you play as the girls from the game playing volleyball.
Yep, Zach, the Dennis Rodman-ish character, just invites all the girls to have a volleyball tournament on his island.
It's a dating simulator with a volleyball minigame, which I hear is actually quite a good volleyball game.
Yeah, it's an
alright
volleyball game.
As far as like volleyball video games go.
Yeah, there aren't many. So.
So the thing I haven't mentioned to you is that the biggest feature of these games is the women. Or like the lack of clothing on the women, or the fact that they have breast jiggle physics that they have bragged about in the past. Or
like real skin shading.
Yeah.
And kind of like creepy.
Yeah, it's weird.
Bullet points.
It's
for the
weird.
Game.
This is a game for strange people who have interesting tastes.
And like volleyball.
Or big volleyball fans. I'm sure it's the volleyballs that they're playing for. But so there's a huge controversy going on right now because Koei Tecmo, the company behind the Dead or Alive Extreme and Dead or Alive series, have said that they will not be bringing the game to America this mm-hmm. time. They are not going to port it or localize it for us. And when asked why, I want to pull up the exact statement they made. So yep. apologies for.
So this was on a Facebook post.
Yes.
Someone who wanted the game to come out in North America was asking like why they wouldn't, and one of the people from the company responded.
Yes, and so they and I'm reading this verbatim, so just be aware this is probably run through like a Google Translate or something from yeah. Japanese originally. The first post they made was, we do not bring DOA X3 to the West and won't have any plan change in the future. Thank you for asking. And when asked, you know, when probed for an actual explanation, the response they got was, do you know how many issues happening in video game industry with regard to how to treat female in video game industry? We do not want to talk those things here. But certainly we have gone through in last year or two to come to our decision. Thank you. So,
well, do we want to talk these things here is the question.
Right. So, well, here's the thing. The reason that I read it verbatim is because we really can't say what the person who wrote that actually meant. Yeah. I think we all know what they're alluding to is yeah. like the Gamergate controversy, among other things, and just kind of the ongoing.
It's just a big topic right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, the ongoing discussion of female representation and stuff in video yeah. games. And there was a pretty big backlash against this from both sides. A lot of people who are big fans of the game have said, oh, this is like censorship because of all these like, you know, social justice people. Yeah. And then a lot of people on that side of things are saying, you know, they're calling people pathetic for even playing the games and saying this company should be ashamed and know better than bring it to the West and this and that. And everyone's flinging mud and nobody wants to step back and look at what is probably objectively just a business strategy.
Yeah.
Because these games have never sold particularly well.
No, they haven't.
The first one sold okay, but
sure, yeah,
since
that was
then,
the first of its kind.
And yeah, and that was like, also before free internet porn was like everywhere.
Yeah, or before there were more volleyball games.
Wait, internet porn's free?
Yeah, right, no. Exactly.
You've been paying for it this whole time?
Damn it.
So before this goes completely off the rails, the long and short of it though is that. Economically, it makes sense as to yeah. why they would not bring it here.
Localization is expensive, and if they're not going to reap the profits from it that they want, then, yeah, of course they're not going to bring it.
Exactly. And this isn't – I just want to be clear. It's neither censorship nor is it necessarily offensive for a culture that has different values from us to produce a game that's in line with what's acceptable in their culture. I understand sure. saying that it would not fly in America, yep. but both telling people that what they're interested in is bad and also telling people that, you know, it should not exist because of your own morals is not always going to be 100% the right thing to do.
Yep.
That's really all I wanted to say on that, although there was an update on the story today. We have an official post that the post that was originally put out was on, like John said, on the Facebook page and by an individual employee. Mm-hmm. We have an official statement now from Koei Tecmo that was released this afternoon, which said the comments recently made by an employee regarding Dead or Alive Extreme 3 on the official Dead or Alive Facebook page only reflect that individual's opinion and not the opinion or business strategy of Koei Tecmo Games. We remain focused on delivering the best in fighting entertainment to our fans around the world, while consciously respecting and strategizing to support the different global audiences for the Dead or Alive that the Dead or Alive franchise lends itself to. Dead or Alive Extreme 3 remains in development and is still planned for release in Japan and Asia only. So this is kind of interesting. They've walked back the statements from their employee, but they are still neither going to explain why they aren't bringing it over, nor do they have any plans still to localize it. It's interesting. For those who are really bummed, if you're out there that this isn't coming to the U.S.
Imported.
Yeah, you can just play an imported copy, so yep. it really is not that big of a deal. But I understand the frustration from fans who liked the series.
Sure.
I also understand why people are like, this is insane. Though I will say, and I'm just going to say this for the record, I do strongly feel that if you see art that you don't like, you just don't buy it. And
yeah.
I don't think that there, as far as I know, it's the reason that this was so strange and out of the blue is that as far as I know, there is no movement to prevent it from coming here. There's not really been any real backlash against
it. Yeah, I mean, they've been around before. It's just the market's not there for them.
Well, and the thing that's interesting, though, is that they... How to phrase it.
So the main sentiment that I was seeing when this was announced was at least people who are against it were like, oh, they're making another one of these again. Like that was the most like movement.
Right.
Against.
I mean, there was a lot harsher. Harsher things that were being said, actually. But
there weren't like petitions to stop it being made or
not until
like that.
This announcement came out. But now there are both sides. There's petitions for.
Oh, so it got hot.
This has been probably the most active story this week, which is why I wanted to make sure we touched on it. Do you guys have anything else you want to comment on it, though? I mean, I'm not really trying to get in the mix with it.
I think the company has its own rights.
Yeah. Company has its rights, and we aren't entitled to every game that comes out in Japan as much as we wish we were. So, that pretty much does it for news this week, but we had a pretty huge release, Just Cause 3.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Pokemon Picross.
Which is also a huge release.
It is
awesome. To play.
Free download on the 3DS or whatever.
I'll talk about it. That's all I played today for like 4 or 5 hours.
I'm super jealous because I actually just starting last week have been playing nonstop Hungry Cat Picross on my iPhone.
I've been playing Paint It Back.
Paint It
Back because the ghost gets rid of all the paint.
No, I get it now. I thought it was just Paint It Black, like the song.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
But, yeah, I got the recommendation from Giant Bomb. Is that where
that's what I did, too.
Yeah.
Like, I forgot what it was. I tweeted about it. Someone gave me the name. And
also, was that Jeff who was talking about it? Yeah, Jeff sucks for not mentioning that the 3D version, which is what I actually wanted, has been not on the iOS store for like 3 years. I really wanted to play a 3D Picross thing. Apparently, it was like violating copyright or something, or maybe they just stopped updating it, but it is not on the Apple store. I was really bummed because that's what I really wanted.
That's all we've
I've never
been playing
played
in my
a 3D
home
Picross.
Is like just all Paint It Back for like the last 2 weeks.
I beat the first room or whatever, and then I didn't want to pay $3 for the other ones.
It's not a bad price for all that content. It was like $3 or $4.
Sure.
But that's if you want to go further into it, you have that choice.
That's fair. Yeah. I like Hungry Cat more actually than Paint It Back because it has multiple colors.
Okay.
It has actually kind of a slightly different nanogram scheme. Mm-hmm. Like they like circle some numbers and that means they're all touching each other. Or if they're not circled, it just means that's how many there are in a row. So it's more complicated than
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, than a traditional nanogram. I've probably put like 100 hours into it in the last 2 weeks. Yeah. Like it's just a lot of fun.
I don't know why, what it is. Like if it was just them talking about it on the Bombcast, but like I got the itch real bad.
I did because I was waiting for Just Cause 3 and I wanted a game on my phone, a puzzle game on my phone, because I find that the only games that I play really consistently on my phone that aren't like full-blown game ports like Grand Theft Auto are puzzlers.
Yeah.
Action games are just not – there's not enough control to play an action game that well.
Yeah.
So let's jump right into Pokemon Picross since it's topical.
Sure. So that came out today.
It's free to play, right?
Yes. So – Henry, you're not going to like this conversation.
Oh.
So it's free to play. You play nanograms to catch Pokemon.
Yeah.
The Pokemon that you catch have different abilities that can trigger in your puzzles. There's challenges that you can do, like, oh, have a grass type with you and make sure that they do this special ability, which is nice because they help you out. Like, one of them's, like, picks a random spot on the puzzle, and this one just like takes everything in a cross formation and fills out what's there.
But they're hints, basically, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
They're not required.
They're not required. No, but for challenges that they have to unlock other puzzles in the game, you can use them.
But you don't have to.
You don't have to.
You don't need them for anything.
Just want to mainline it and do it yourself. Yes, but each puzzle does have challenges that you like requirements that you have to meet to get things like the in-game currency, which is my one issue with the game so far.
Oh,
all right, not one issue, but all right. So
do tell.
All right, so it is a free-to-play game. You have an energy limit.
Oh.
So you start off with 100 energy things, and it's each spot that you put on the puzzle.
What?
Which refills over time, and then you could pay with this currency that you get by playing or purchasing it to refill that gauge.
So it's my understanding that
if
you...
I was going to buy a 3DS literally to do this.
It's my understanding that if you upgrade the energy, it becomes unlimited and
right.
that goes
so
away.
So you can upgrade it 5 times with that currency.
That you can earn in the game.
That you can earn in the game.
Okay.
And you can make that energy just go away. So the currency is a little bit tough to come by. The puzzles themselves usually give you about 5 to 10 points of this currency, or you can buy it in the store. If you buy it in the store, they say if you buy 5,000 of these units, then they're just infinite from there. So that's about $30.
Oh my goodness.
I heard it's about half that, but I read an article before this, and you've obviously played it and
looked at it. It's about $30.
Okay.
Which I haven't spent any money on it yet, and I've spent 4 to 5 hours on the game so far. So like that's a decent amount of time.
And that doesn't mean anything in that kind of a game.
Right.
Though. I mean, especially in a free-to-play game. I can play completely free games for hours nowadays.
But like I'm thinking about just spending the $30 and just playing it like a regular Picross game. Like
I mean, I guess you would have spent 50 on it.
Well, 40, I guess, for a regular 3DS game.
I can't remember what the release prices are.
So I like that there's a limit to the microtransactions. Like if you just spend that much, they're giving you unlimited.
What you haven't told us though, is there anything else you can spend money on?
You could spend money on unlocking the next set of levels.
That's stupid. Okay.
You could spend money on increasing your energy gauge, which I kind of mentioned before.
Yep. Wait, is energy separate from the? No, that's the thing that you have 100
yeah,
of, right?
Yeah. Okay. And when you upgrade it, it goes up by 100 each time.
You know, for what it's... Oh,
yes,
go ahead.
Permanently.
Well, that's something.
I was going to say, exciting news for what it's worth. Game Informer's review just went live on Pokemon Picross, and they're giving a 6.75 with moderately low replayability.
So
I'm bummed because, honestly, I saw Pokemon Picross and I was like, I might buy a 3DS.
It's, right? But, like, actually playing it, I really like it. The puzzles are good. They're kind of tough. They give you time limit challenges, which then you would use your Pokemon skills to figure out the puzzle faster.
I don't like those kinds. Like, I don't like heavily restricted puzzle games. Mm-hmm. The reason I like Hungry Cat is you, as far as I know, you don't use the stars for anything, but it's a 3-star rating system per level, and you just have an infinite timer, and then there are just 3 timing goals, and that's the number of stars you get. And it's like, I don't want to have – I want if I finished the puzzle and it was hard for me, don't make me do the puzzle again.
No, so you don't have to so the time limit thing is mainly just to get more of that currency.
Which is required, though.
Right.
But so – because you need their currency to play the game, right?
Sure.
So, like, ostensibly, if I'm not spending money and I'm not, like, doing time challenges – then I could get to a point where I can't unlock any more levels.
So every day there's a daily challenge that comes out that will allow you to get more currency as well.
I guess. This just, everything about this is rubbing me the wrong way.
So what I like about the challenges is they have these things called, it's like a mural piece, but it's like a piece in an 8x8 nonogram.
Hungry Cat has this.
Yeah. So, and then you figure out that puzzle, and then eventually it's like a really big picture.
They call it the mosaic.
You know, Game Informer did the math on the free to play aspect of it. Yeah. May I quote directly from their review?
Go
are you guys interested?
It's my head about to explode.
Free to play is not inherently a bad thing. Spending a few dollars to speed up progress or grab a difficult unlock is a fair trade for free entry. But unlike most successful free to play games, Picross puzzles are not randomized nor worth replaying. Once you hit one of the game's built-in progress walls, you have no satisfying avenue for farming the currency you need to continue. You use energy to play the puzzles, which recharges over time, but you must use the pick rights, the in-game currency, to bypass these roadblocks. And then skipping ahead here, with only about 7 puzzles between each roadblock, the math just doesn't add up. Replaying puzzles yields nothing. Daily puzzles grant fewer than 10 pick rights. Because of this, you are forced to pay to continue unless you're willing to focus only on the dailies,
but it would take you years to get through the game at that rate, and then they just go on to finish.
They need to tweak the the intake of your currency.
I can't believe that Japanese companies are starting. It's starting to feel like some Japanese companies almost have worse microtransactions policies than American companies, which blows me away. I would have thought the American companies would have that on lock, being jerks in business.
They don't have ads in there, which is a plus.
I wouldn't care. Who cares? What I mean, ads? What a banner at the top bottom of the page? Like who? That I couldn't give less of a crap about. Even if it was like a video pop up, if it meant I didn't have to pay for energy, like energy in a puzzle game that is within each puzzle, that's insane.
You know what it reminds me of? And I'm not sure whatever came of this, but there's a Need for Speed iPhone game released, or mobile game, and this particular part only unlocked in Europe, but you had to pay real money to fuel up your vehicle.
Oh, yeah,
I
remember
that.
You can
only have so much gas.
That's insanity.
Dumb.
That's actually crazy.
Well, I like what it's doing. I am considering just dropping the $30 because I do like...
Sure.
Like, it's the company that did the old DS Picross games. So, like, it's good. Try it. Like, you don't have to spend money if you don't want to. But obviously, like you just said...
You kind of do.
They nudge you towards it pretty hard.
So. If by nudge you mean the walls are closing on you.
Yep.
Yes. If you're in the trash compactor,
like
a new hope.
I'm kind of getting to that point where I don't have enough of those pick rates to get to the next set of levels.
It just drives me nuts because it feels disingenuous to me to be like, the game's free. Now pay me money. Yeah. It's like I'd rather pay $40 and just have
that's
it
why
and
they
not
call
have
it,
any of those mechanics.
That's why they call it free to start.
That that's good that they've changed the terminology, but that is, I mean, that doesn't like help me eliminate what's free to play and what's free to start. Everything is free to start, basically. There's maybe like 1 in 100 games is actually free to play, and then it has microtransactions. Yeah. So it's just like Hungry Cat is the best like free to play game I've played in a while because it appears not to actually gate you at all in any way, as far as I've been able to tell, which I. Seriously, you don't need a 3DS for that one either. It's on Android and iOS. Hungry Cat Picross.
But can you catch legendary Pokemon?
Yes, you can.
No, but you can paint hilarious pictures.
I do like the little touch in this game where like lesser Pokemon are easier puzzles, and as you get to legendary ones, it's like bigger puzzles and harder to do.
That's neat.
Yeah, it's little touches like that. It's well done for its game part, but for its obvious payment model issues, it's a little bit jacked.
Yeah,
little lot bit.
Well, so, that's interesting.
Yeah, check it out.
Yeah, let us know when you break down and spend money.
Oh, it's probably gonna be tonight.
Yeah, I have a feeling. Yep. But
just shoot us a text.
Yeah, we'll just
it happened.
I just want to make sure that I can continue to be a jerk about all the things that I.
No, yeah, that's why I said you're not gonna like about. That conversation because.
To be fair, it's not so much that I don't like it in this one. I'm not like angry about it. I'm just let down because Pokemon Picross was one of the first Nintendo ideas that they've come up with recently that I've actually given a flying crap about. Because to be perfectly honest, like, don't care about the weird new Tomodachi Life app thing that they're rolling out. Not super interested in the new, which they just announced actually some details on. What is it, the NX?
So the...
You want to talk about that for a sec?
Yeah, there's been a report that came out. I can't remember which publication had it. But they were saying that Nintendo is going to start manufacturing the NX early next year, quarter one or quarter two. And they're ordering about 12 million units for potential release next year. Like, that's a lot.
Yeah, that is a lot.
Out of nowhere. And a lot of people thought that it was going to be coming in like 2017. So, like, this is pretty big news that Nintendo could be releasing a new console.
Do we know what the NX like fully is or at all? Because I remember like when I was first reading these articles, like a lot of the comments were, so I guess this isn't the sequel to the Wii U. Like it's got to be like some kind of like third party or not third party, but rather 3DS type, like a mobile.
Yeah.
Thing, right?
There was an interview with their new president that was done. I think it was like today or yesterday. But he was saying that it's not a successor to the Wii U or the Wii. They wanted to do something different, kind of like GameCube to Wii U. I do too. But I hope it's more of a mobile thing than anything else, like a 3DS offshoot.
Well, do you know what my bad feeling is?
What?
They're expanding into the app market.
Mm-hmm.
they are thinking it's a mobile type device.
They've said it's not like a cell phone thing.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see. But they also said they're not talking about it till 2016.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Max, what were you saying?
Oh, I was just looking at the quotes here. It's something unique and different. It's not the next version of Wii or Wii U. I wonder, honestly, though, if by them saying it's not the next version of Wii or Wii U, they're getting away from the motion controls and they're going to really attempt to compete with the Xbox and PlayStation.
Which is kind of funny because, like, getting away from the motion controls is what they've been struggling so much from. Like, I don't necessarily think – I think that if they were smart, they would – keep some motion control type things, but go back to a traditional controller and perhaps make it so that, like, the Wiimote support is optional.
What if it's just a Steam machine?
I'd laugh so hard and also be like,
We've got PC.
I never did need to buy a Nintendo product.
We've gone Linux.
Nintendo stuff. Yeah, exactly. That's pretty great.
We've been having meetings with Gabe Newell lately. Praise be to Gaben.
Back to what we've played this week, though. I really want to talk about Just Cause 3.
Yeah, that's the big thing.
So I've played about 25, 30 hours of it. You guys, what? How much have you guys
played? I'm about 5 hours in.
I'm about the same. Half of which has been in the air,
which is how you play that
game. Yeah, you do.
Well, so, fun fact, it's the only way you can play that game on Xbox, or at least in my experience.
Is in the air.
Because, the vehicle controls, on ground, are absolutely terrible for me. They're wonky. It's like, I'm hitting random.
Let's talk about the game a bit before we get into criticism.
Fair.
It's an open world sandbox destruction game. We've talked about it before, but if you're just tuning in for the first time, it's third person. Fly around. You've got a grappling hook or grappling gun, a parachute, and now a wingsuit. And it is open world exploration and mass destruction and chaos. And it is just the most sandbox ever.
Except buildings don't really explode. It's just not very often, at least.
Yeah, fair. Although, like, everything else does.
Right.
The chaos objects all do, and in very creative ways. Yes. I'm pretty sure if the buildings could explode, the physics engine would just explode.
I don't think it would run on the consoles.
Exactly. Well, it all from what I now... Okay, now we'll throw over to Max, because from what I understand, it doesn't run on the consoles.
I don't want to say it doesn't run, but it has its fair share of problems. The frame rate on Xbox One is atrocious. It becomes almost unplayable when there is, even a moderate amount of action and explosions.
Are we talking 2 frames a second, or are we talking like 15 frames?
We're probably around
sub 10.
Sub 10
for me, yeah.
Okay.
Damn.
When I get into I would really say 10 to 15. Fights.
Yeah.
But yeah,
it's a game that's about big firefights. Yeah. So.
I do like the amount of detail. Like, I was having fun landing a helicopter in a field of flowers, and the flowers will rustle. They'll actually, like, be pushed into the ground.
Yeah, you can
that way.
Like, when you walk through grass, you, like, tromp it down, great.
Yeah, amazing amount of detail. The issue I'm running into, and I know you get, like, some upgrades as you do challenges and things like that, but initially the vehicles are extremely wonky, and...
I think it's just like the basic off the road cars that just don't control well. Like,
no, I was driving a sports car down the road. I was doing one of the race challenges.
Yeah.
And every time I would come near like the guardrail, I'd be in the middle of the road and it would get caught on an invisible barrier and the car would just like stop at a weird angle and just slam into the barrier, even though I wasn't even close to it. And then another race I was doing, I went over just the tiniest rock they have in the game. I just touched it barely with the wheel and I would go spinning like head over heels like into the air and bounce off a mountainside, and it's like the time constraints they put on some of the challenges, it's almost impossible to beat them, at least for my playthrough, because of the inability to cope with the physics and the mechanics of the game.
That's really interesting to me. I haven't had a single issue with anything physics related at all in the game personally. I'm playing on PC, by the way. That's actually shocking to me, because I found that the vehicle controls are vastly improved. They're still not like they're not GTA level of good, but I mean, they're somewhere in between GTA and I don't know, like I'd say they're somewhere Saints in between Row. GTA and Saints Row. Yeah, I'd say they're better than Saints Row.
Yeah,
I mean, they did Row's a really good job with like that. Their slide with their drifting is really good. Mm-hmm. The I really think the handling's great, especially because, like, the second unlock you get for the cars is, like, you first unlock for all land vehicles, you get nitrous, which helps a lot.
Right, yeah.
And then the second one is you can jump, which is really awesome. You, like, ridiculous. Bunny hop a tank, which I do all the awesome. Time.
For me, I probably need to spend more time getting used to it. I know a lot of the reviews have said once the controls click, they really click.
You need to play some challenges to practice everything. But also, right. I would make sure that you didn't have, like, anything tethered to the car, because that's so far outside of anything that
I've seen. It was the challenges that start you with a vehicle. It's not, like, going into...
Sure, but they don't start you in the vehicle. So I'm just wondering if it's possible that you threw a tether... Because I regularly, like, will throw a tether down by accident. I don't know about how the controls are on consoles.
Are you playing intoxicated, Henry?
No. Always. Rico is just
me intoxicated?
Hammered all the time.
This body is a temple.
So Max, is there kind of like a input lag for your driving? Because that's my issue with the driving.
I haven't really noticed any input lag.
I'll go to turn and then it just doesn't turn right away.
When I'm using the wingsuit, though,
just to be clear, John's playing. I'm playing PS4, so we have all three consoles between us.
You're welcome, all three systems. Followers.
Those two get to suffer while I just brush a little bit of dust off my shoulder.
But I haven't noticed the input lag.
Okay.
I have noticed that it is when using the wingsuit, and again, this is with Xbox One, the littlest touches on the joystick will send him just shooting the wrong way.
You gotta learn to wingsuit.
Yeah, bro. The wingsuit is actually, like, it's really, really good, and it's deliberately like that. It is, like, I imagine doing it on a keyboard, which is what I'm doing. Yeah. So I can't, like, gently press A or D. I have to just, like, really quick. Like, to give you an idea, when I'm actually doing, like, a wingsuit challenge, first of all, to get 5 gears always takes me a bunch of attempts. But it sounds like this when I'm flying with my wingsuit. It's just...
Okay.
It's just tons of tiny, fine adjustments.
Just feathering it.
Oh, yeah. That's the other thing. Before I forget, how are the load times on your guys's...
Really, really good. I have maybe a 1 minute load into the actual game, and I'm playing on an old ass computer. When I die and come back, it's like a second.
Okay, so for doing a challenge repeat on Xbox One,
4 minutes for you.
Yeah, it can take upwards of a minute, sometimes two, to just to restart the challenge.
No, it's 3 to 4 on PS4 for some challenges. For, like, the destruction ones, like the wingsuit ones, they don't really need to reset anything.
Yeah, we were speculating earlier, perhaps it was tied to the the number of physics objects that have to be reset and stuff.
Right.
Like that.
Yeah. And I'm not saying the game's broken, but
it certainly feels
like things have been rushed, really, and these better be things that they address in.
Now, Henry, you mentioned before we were recording that it might be due to, like, a memory leak.
Yeah, I've heard specifically with the Xbox version, but presumably with the PlayStation version as well. I've heard that the load times actually increase the longer you play. They think it might have to do with a memory leak where they're trying to dump they're just trying to clear out the RAM to make more space, and it is not properly clearing it, or it's taking longer than necessary.
If that's the case for that too, if that is hurting the slowdown during bigger firefights as well.
It could be because they are streaming, like, I think a big part of it too, though, is that there's a bad bottleneck on those systems for streaming textures, because you install the game, but aren't you also running it off the disk with that, or is that full installation? Because it's got to be it's streaming textures off the hard drive, and the video processing is just not powerful enough.
Sounds like the frame rate, you were curious, on Xbox One, it's hitting an average of 17 frames.
Jeez. Yeah. Wow. PS4's... When I booted it up on all high settings on my old computer, even I was getting like 25 frames.
I've only had like 3 instances where it was like really bad, like slow motion action.
Oh, which I want to mention. When you guys say it's slowing down the frame rate, I want to be clear, because there are two kinds of slowdown that I've experienced in the game. Yep. There is an actual, like, the number of frames per second decreases, and then there's also the entire engine slows down.
Both.
And it almost
feels like
it's like when you do a big explosion and it goes into, like, a bullet time type thing. Like, it's where you're not actually missing any frames. No frames are being dropped.
Right.
It's just game is running per frame.
That's usually how it is.
I just want to be clear. As someone who plays PC and has often had an underpowered system, that is the much preferred type.
Right, because you could still adjust what you're doing if something bad happens.
You're still actually, you're arguably more in control.
Right.
Like in a race, that could give you a real advantage going around corners and stuff because you have like 10 extra seconds to respond to it. I've actually exploited that in I'm trying to remember. Come back to me, but there was an older game I played where I just made brutal use of that. It was like a shooter, and so like on PC, so like just aiming headshots like just all day. It was nonsense.
Well, I guess my overall impression of the game, I mean, it feels like a true sandbox game. You know, we have all these open world games coming out. There's a lot of restrictions in them. This is do whatever you want, however you want. There's not a lot of hand holding in it, not a lot of forced, like, go here, do this, do that.
Yeah, it feels to me like this is the most pure video game that I've ever played. Like, it is all about what's fun and gamifying everything. Like, it is super streamlined. It doesn't bog you down. It has its typical. It has exactly what I wanted from a story, which is the really cheesy.
It's just like, we got to liberate this country, Rico.
Yeah. It's got a bunch of your favorites, like the Texas stereotype and all that. But that's kind of what I want. I like the tongue in cheek. I like what I love. One of the things I love most about Just Cause is that it's a B movie.
Yeah, it doesn't take itself seriously at all.
It has been trying to.
It's very melodramatic at times.
Strongly disagree.
I don't know. Like, there's that moment pretty early on when Rico and his friend are just hanging out outside his friend's house and his mom's calling them for dinner.
Yeah, I mean, the heaviest moment in the game. I'm 25 hours in, and I've only done a couple main story missions. I've mostly just been taking over settlements, but. Mm-hmm. There's one slightly heavy moment where Mario is saying how, I told these people to come fight with us and, you know, they're dying. And it's I thought this was going to be like simple and fun. And I was so naive or whatever. And he says, I'm sorry for bringing you into this, Rico. Like, thank you for helping me. And Rico just looks him right in the eye. And then bag shots him, just flicks him in the nuts, and then pushes him into a fountain.
Good.
So I don't know if I agree at all that this game is taking itself seriously.
Like, just in the opening moments, they have that kind of like, oh, I'm glad you're back, and oh, I don't blame you for leaving, Rico, and just stuff like that. And
I mean, it's like the intro to every, like, cop movie or, like,
I don't know. But also, it seems like it's got, it comes across a bit too serious, or like it almost gets to somewhere where it's making a point, and then they do the nut shot, and it's like, well, okay, like,
well,
they're liberating,
different,
they're liberating all these cities and saving all these civilians, and yet you're blowing everything to hell and killing all these civilians.
They make a joke
collateral.
About that,
no, I know,
so
I know,
I don't know,
but
what
I mean,
you
it's
mean
just
by it's serious.
It seems like it's trying to make serious points, but then it doesn't follow all the way through on it.
I completely disagree. I haven't seen a single serious point in the entire game. I mean, this is they introduce the dictator by having him hand a gun to one of his quote-unquote failure soldiers, and without the music changing or a slowdown or anything, off-screen he hands one of his guys a gun, and then off-screen he just shoots himself in the face. Nothing said.
Oh,
nobody says anything. This is not a serious game. There's nothing serious.
Oh, I'm not saying it's supposed to be. I'm just saying it seems like they tried here and there and just didn't follow through.
I don't see that. I see the exact opposite, actually. I feel like anytime they even come close to getting serious, they bagshot Mario. I was actually surprised by how, like, that scene in particular, I was like, wow, that is not what I expected at all to happen. And I actually don't know if I necessarily prefer that that's how they handled it, but that's how it is. And I don't know. I certainly am not, like, afraid that they're suddenly going to give me napalm and then make me deal with the consequences of using napalm or something.
Yeah.
You know, I always forget the name of the game. This isn't that modern military shooter set in Dubai.
Spec Ops the
yes,
Line.
Yes, this isn't Spec Ops the Line. We're not trying to, or Homeland. We're not trying to teach people.
What,
about
if, what if it just turns out he's going crazy
or,
by the end?
Exactly.
So what's your favorite thing to do in this game?
Blow stuff up.
All of the things. Basically anything that's not a destruction challenge. Because, just really quick, I just want to say, the destruction challenges, oh my God, Avalanche. Saints Row and Grand Theft Auto have got this down pat. How can you get it so wrong? Right. They put you back in an army base. They put you back in an army base that they've already taken over, that it's got no dudes manning it at all. It's got basically all it is you're driving around in like a tank, or you have one weapon type and you have to just blow up the same stuff
The way to do it, you have to hit all the check marks that of the items you blew up in the first place to liberate.
Yeah.
You don't have to hit
in the challenge mode. I know, but you don't have to. I'm saying, like, if you want to get the top score, you, like, literally have to blow up everything in those check marks.
Gotcha, yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, definitely. And it's boring. It's retreading something you've already done in a less creative way. Like, the fact that you can't at least choose how to destroy it all. Yeah. What they should have done is put you in a sandbox area with more destructible stuff or different destructible stuff.
Put up a pyramid of, like, exploding barrels
my computer.
Please. Even Red Faction Guerrilla had a better destruction mode than that, and that was years and years ago.
Exactly. All that said, that's only the destruction like derby mode that I'm talking about specifically, not the general stuff is not just fine. It's the best I've ever seen in a video game by far. And also, if you haven't detonated one of the spherical gas tanks yet, do it. And then just unzip your pants because it's
those explosions are the best in games. Like, really better than movies. Like, most things just look like nukes going off, and it's great. It's so satisfying to just blow up anything.
It's incredible.
What I do want to say about this game is that the wingsuit is my favorite way of getting around anything since Spider-Man 2.
That's
like,
accurate.
I used to just like play Spider-Man 2 for hours, just swinging around the city.
High school was interesting time.
I swear, like, 2.5 hours of the 5 hours I played of Just Cause has been how far can I get across this island without touching the ground, just flying. It feels so good.
As a side note, normally I don't go for this kind of stuff, but I'm really enjoying the random stats that they're tracking.
Oh, like the leaderboards and stuff?
Yes, because I have all of the, like, wingsuit style challenges. Like, I have the high score by far among my friends. But then if you look at, like, you know, destruction, or, like, you know, farthest you've ragdolled after being hit by a missile or whatever, I have nowhere near
I almost
that
hit first place after just, like, flying in my wingsuit and then hitting a wall accidentally and then just flying like 100 meters.
See, for you, though, that's impressive, unlike for me, because I'm playing with my friends from high school and like some of my current friends. You're playing with like a bunch of like journalists.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, that's true.
That's funny.
Good game overall.
Yeah, I would recommend it. Let's see. I would say if you're playing on console, rent it.
Yep.
Like John did.
That's what I'm doing. I'm going to buy it, but I was just low on funds this week. But I'm going to try it on PC. I'm going to buy it on PC.
I want to be very clear about something, though. If you are not super into the sandbox games, this may not be a game for you.
Sure.
This is going to be probably in my top three games of the year, but I don't think that I would recommend this blanket to just anyone.
You need to be able to find your own fun.
Yes, exactly. Not just that, you should be constantly challenging yourself to do something crazy or do something off the you're right.
Right.
You have to make your own fun because the game gives you fun, but the real cool stuff is actually
I
think random production issues continue.
I just want to speak to the challenging yourself statement. You can liberate every single base in the exact same way if you want, and the game doesn't force you to use different items or tools or strategies.
Do those challenges ever change, like, get rid of the satellite dish or open up this door for the rebels or take down these speakers?
What it is there's, like, I'd say 15 different types of chaos, like, things that you can do. And they are it's all different in every base.
Okay.
I think that there might be a couple bases that have unique chaos items, but for the most part, it is a completely different layout for the town, different numbers of the stuff you destroy. It's in different locations and all that.
Yep.
And so, like, it still feels fresh when you come upon a new town. I struggle
that's
with
what
some
I was wondering,
settlements for sure still.
Yep.
But basically, all I was going to say is, push yourself. See how ridiculous you can get with your approach methods and what all you can string together and blow up.
And try just, like, perfecting your movement. Like, when I played Just Cause 2, getting that parachute and zipline thing down, like, just getting the locomotion of getting around, like, that took a while, and it was satisfying to do. But, like, once they put the wingsuit in for, like, a faster travel solution and mastering using your zip line and your parachute and the wingsuit to get around. Like, there's no need for cars in that game.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, for some challenges and stuff. And
it is fun to collect people, them and stuff, too.
People like messing around with cars, but...
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you've seen the Jumbo Jet.
No, I haven't.
So, very, very, very minor spoiler that's not related to the story in any way. You can get a Jumbo Jet. Nice. It's actually a cargo plane. You can fit 10 vehicles inside of its cargo hold, and you can walk around the cargo hold while it's in flight.
Good.
It's pretty amazing.
The truest stunt position.
Unfortunately, the plane is so large, there's like four places on the map you can spawn it in where it would explode.
Can you then get into a car and then reverse and then just let it fall for a while?
Yeah. Cool. You can open the bay while it's in flight.
Can you put mines on each one so it's like you're just dropping bombs on everything?
I don't know if you can because I think that you can only have a maximum of five or six mines.
Sure.
One last thing, and then we got to go because we're trying to watch the Game Awards today.
Yeah.
One last thing, though, is if you're having issues starting out doing the challenges and you're like me and you really want to get 5 stars and everything, do the challenge once and then unlock the rank one mod items.
Yep.
There are challenges that you cannot do without the first ranks of mod items. Like, I think there's actually the wingsuit that you can't like grapple to the ground or something? There's one, or no, it's the cars, the driving ones. Until you get the nitrous, like you can't the 5 gear rating.
Not coming
so
close.
Just do it first, get 3 gears, then go back, turn on the mod. All you have to do is hit tab to switch them off and on.
Yep.
So we're going to go. However, next week I want to talk in a little bit more detail about the game because there are quite a few systems left that I want to discuss.
And I'm sure we'll get a little bit deeper too. So. Yeah,
and exactly. We need to talk about all our sweet Black Friday games that we picked up.
Yes, all zero of them. All right. Anyways, though, thanks
for listening. Well, I just want to on record, that I picked up Mad Max and it is fantastic. Henry, it's fantastic. And
the game or the movie?
The game.
I did pick up the movie.
Talk to me in a week.
I still haven't watched
it yet. We'll talk about it then.
I thought it was fantastic at first.
And it went downhill.
Well, that is definitely a shine off the Apple game. Definitely.
Okay. Yep.
Definition of one. Anyways, talk more next week. Here we go. This has been procedurally generated. We really hope you've enjoyed listening to the show. Please be sure to check us out on Audioboom and also iTunes and leave us a rating or review. You can also follow us on Twitter at PG_show. Thank you. And as always, game on.